It's Thursday. It's 10 o'clock Mountain Time. You know what that means? It's time for Tom and Shane, like it or not. Hey, if you're just joining us, why not take a moment and hit that subscribe button? It's down in the lower right-hand corner or under the podcast or the video, whatever. If you're on YouTube, just hit that subscribe button. It really helps us out. Ring the notification bell. You'll always be notified when we're here again. And leave a like, leave a comment. YouTube puts a lot of weight on that, Shane. They like that stuff. So, and if you like support us monetarily, well, Patreon is the way to do it. Patreon. I don't know. I hear it pronounced both ways, Shane. So I don't know. It just means give us money.
Yep. Show me the money.
Because there is some cost in putting this stuff on. So. And we use StreamYard to do this with, so it's really easy to use. There's a free link in the description below, as is our Patreon, and you can get all of that stuff below. And right now, of course, what are we going to talk about, Shane? We got to talk about why the Ukraine will defeat Russia. And they seem to be doing pretty good so far. This 72-hour takeover is taking 6 weeks.
Well, that's right. And I mean, when you look at the financial and physical support that the Ukraine has, you know, they've gotten now, over $3 billion in military aid recently, 1,400 Stinger anti-aircraft missiles, 4,500 Javelin anti-tank missiles. We're going to go through all of these today, including $100 million in Javelin anti-tank missiles authorized the 5th of April this month. They got five M-17 helicopters. They're old Russian helicopters. They got three patrol boats, four counter-artillery and counter-drone tracking radar systems, and so forth. So, it's just incredible when you look at the fact that the U.S. has sent the Ukraine 2,600 javelins, and NATO countries have shipped more than 17,000 anti-tank missiles and rockets to the Ukraine. I mean, they're buried in equipment, and yeah. You know, for people to suggest that the West isn't helping them or supporting them, they have their own sniper weapon. They use AK-74s. You know, they're well taken care of. I'm always reminded now about this whole situation in Ukraine with Charlie Wilson. You know, he was a 12-term Texas congressman. And he was the one, he died at 76, by the way, and back in the 81 that supported the Mujahideen against, the other Russians that were down there. And then he was able to get the CIA to funnel billions of dollars to them. And, you know, there was a movie done by, about him. And, he played, Charlie Wilson's War, and Tom Hanks played him. And Julie Roberts played the conservative Dallas woman that got, him to get Congress to finance him. But the point is you got the same thing here. This whole warmongering by the West and even by the president the country is it just unacceptable. I'll give you one reason why. Two or three weeks ago, it was reported and video was shown of a ship in the Black Sea, a Russian ship being hit. And no one talked about it other than, the Ukrainians, look, they hit this, they fired a missile and hit this ship. And I really appreciate Greg, commenting about this. That's why we're doing this episode today. What's not laughable but interesting is that it was in what's called the Neptune rocket, and incredibly as it seems, developed April 2019 by guess who? The Ukrainians. First time used was on April 13th when they hit the Russian cruiser Moskva with two Neptune missiles. So the Americans don't need to provide them that, and you look at this, and And again, I say what's difficult to accept about it is, you know, what everyone's being told is just misdirected. Real quick, let's talk about the FIM 92 Stinger Man Portable Air Defense System. They're called man pads. Isn't that great? Man Portable Air Defense System. You know, they've sent them apparently several thousand, over 4,000. It's an infrared homing surface-to-air missile. They've shot down a lot of helicopters and Russian planes. This is what the Afghans used against Russia back in the 80s. Been around a long time. The interesting thing about it was first used back in the Falkland Wars. The British used it against the Argentinians. One of the reasons it's liked so much is, you know, the price tag on a unit is about $120,000, built by General Dynamics and designed in 67 and, you know, went operational since 1978, used today. So it's a one-shot, you know, on-your-shoulder, surface-to-air missile, and incredibly effective. They're mounted also on planes, and they're used on, you know, they have them on ships. The other one is the BGM-71 TOW. Now, this one's great. The BGM-71 TOW tube-launched optical-tracked wire-guided anti-tank missile. Now, the TOW we know about, been in service since 1970, again used in Afghanistan. It's a tripod-mounted rocket. It can be reloaded and fired more than once. Incredibly effective, used in Vietnam, as a matter of fact. And you may have seen one when you were over there. I don't know.
I may have.
It was designed by Hughes Aircraft. Big surprise there. The other one is the TOFAN. Now, the TOFAN is a rocket actually developed by Iran, and the U.S. got a hold of it and reverse engineered it into the TOW weapon. So it's a piece of Iranian technology the Americans got and you know, mass produced in 1988. You know, they got it from Iran when the Shah was around. Quickly, the Lance missile. Now, this is important because the MGM-52 Lance is a road mobile, short-range ballistic missile designed by the United States. It was first deployed in 1972. And it was put in Europe and South Korea as a primary delivery vehicle for battlefield nuclear weapons. And as we discussed, it looks sort of like a V-2 rocket, but it entered service in 1970, and it was produced till 1980. But then it was taken out. By 1990, the launchers that the U.S. had deployed in Europe and South Korea were removed in 1991 under the Presidential Nuclear Initiative Act by none other than Mr. Clinton. The FGM, two more. The Javelin we've talked about. Again, the FGM Javelin 148, it's a manned portable fire and forget anti-tank missile weapon. I'll tell you, the Ukrainians have used it incredibly in this battle against Russia for the last 8 years. Let's remember that, 8 years. Got a 2.5 kilometer distance. So, I mean, you don't have to be close to use one of these on a tank or armed personal carrier or trucks or other things. So finally, we'll get to the Harpoon here. The Harpoon has been in operation nearly five decades. It was fired upon ships in 1980 by none other than Jimmy Carter, of course, in November 1980. And then it was used in 1986 when the U.S. Yorktown was involved in the Libyan incident with some Libyan boats that Ronald Reagan took out of the water. April 18th, 1988, several Iranian vessels were, you know, sunk by harpoons during Operation Praying Mantis. Wow, who thought of that? And finally, I want to get through the list. The RIM 116, this is great. This is a rolling airframe missile. The anagram is RAM. It's an infrared homing surface-to-air missile, And most everyone in the world has it, all the, you know, all the NATO countries. Again, a dynamic piece of equipment that's put in one of those box containers on ships, on trucks. The unit cost, meaning individual costs of these, are about $998 or $100,000. Not bad. And, you know, one of those boxes, you know, it can be hauled around by a truck or on a ship. You know, 21 missiles. So you can fire $21 million worth of weaponry, you know, out of one of these babies, like bam, bam, bam. This quite, it's serious stuff. So there you go. There's all the content. We did this for Bruce and for history, because this whole idea that Ukraine needs more and the world isn't doing enough and we should all put troops on the ground and stop World War, bogus. It's just a bogus misdirection and another big lie that, you know, that your media and your country, mine and others, are not disclosing. So we did it here today. And again, thank you, Bruce. You put this on the list of things to talk about. So there you go. We have
now. All right.
That's my 10-minute rant. What do you have to say?
From Bruce, my question is, will Biden blackmail Ukraine into submission to get weapons needed to defeat Russia? Remember, Ukraine is a CIA-controlled country since World War II. That's why Stalin tried to kill. That's all we can get in there, because we're limited by the number of words.
Well, I'd like to remind Bruce that the previous president was Russian. He was installed by Putin. The Ukrainian people didn't like him. He was in while Biden and Obama and Biden were president, vice president. They did nothing for the country. And it was that guy from Moscow that, you know, gave Hunter Biden, now, you know, it's been verified, everything we've heard for, 5 years. The people went into the street because of the corruption, threw him out, elected, you know, a TV comedian, you know, president. And now he's just as stalwart as Putin is. We talked about him already. And so, you know, you're just looking at a situation of an incredibly youthful country, in the fact that since World War II and certainly the break of the Soviet Union, it's grown, it's blossomed, a great provider of food to the world. And we've gone through all this. And now it's just being desolated. You know, it's just desolate. It's being wasted by the Russians. Same thing they did in Chechnya, same thing they did in Syria. It's one of these things you look at in the 21st century and you say, oh my God, how can this be going on again 100 years later? I mean, what can you say? There you go.
All right, let's take another comment. John says, why the Ukrainian is not hitting multiple targets in Russia? That seems like it. Why not give it back to them?
I just think that's a bad military policy. There's no reason to give Putin a reason to justify what he's doing. I think you take a purely defensive role, which they've done. Russia's now left the, you know, the capital area of Kyiv or whatever they call it now. And, yeah, you know, he's concentrating on the southeast part of the country where he's grabbed the Crimea, and he wants to hook all that, the Donbas region, you know, a whole sector. You know, it's like Czechoslovakia and the lower countries, you know, 100 years ago, and Hitler's occupation, free, you know, but, you know, Putin's having to pay for it. But look, the bottom line is the Ukrainians, we know from looking at it, have the military, they have the people, they have all the weapons they need to do this. And you know, this apparent invasion, which would, you know, take them 2 or 3 days, is, you know, it's gone on for 8 years. It wasn't 2 or 3 days. I mean, we're listening to real doughheads, you know. I mean, the head of your Joint Chiefs of Staff references this invasion as somehow being the first. I don't. How do these people keep their jobs? You know.
I don't know. Well, I saw this morning where it was sending 11 helicopters over there. There's a couple weapons that Biden didn't want Ukraine to have. They're a little off the top. I don't remember exactly what they were, but. The other thing is that I haven't heard anything credible from any of the news outlets about Ukraine actually hitting that Russian ship. They probably did, but nobody's fessing up that they know for sure. that it wasn't just a fire on the ship, or that they hit.
No. The Russians did say it got hit. I've seen the reports. The ministry, the Russian ministry reporting every day said one of their ships got hit. But again, the reason they're not talking about it is because the Neptune was used. That's a Ukrainian rocket that they built and developed, in the last 8 years. And no one wants to talk about it because clearly they have a weapon to do this, but why aren't they using it? I don't know. I can't speak for their military, but bottom line is that's what's happening.
Well, the media says, or at least the Russian media says it was fire on the ship.
Yeah, right. So okay,
what are they going to say? Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying I haven't heard any. There may be in other countries they're confirming it, but I haven't heard anything from our news media anywhere that they think it probably is more than likely that, they shot a couple missiles at the thing and, took it out.
Well, I didn't know the Ukrainians had the Harpoon missile or the Neptune missile, until I did this research. So, the bottom line is that no one's talked about why aren't they talking about the Neptune missile Ukrainians have? Why? Because they want to keep plugging war, more, gimme.
Having weapons is one thing, being able to use them is another, but
they've been at war for 8 years, Thomas. They know.
I understand that, Shane, but they haven't been all out missile bombing war for 8 years. They've been shooting at each other for 8 years.
Yeah, digging trenches, it's 100 years ago.
But, they haven't been bombing whole neighborhoods for 8 years.
Well, that's true, but look, since this began, just in the last 2 months, 40 days, 50 days, they've received over 6,000 javelins. The Russians don't have 6,000 tanks or trucks or artillery in their country. Maybe a couple of thousand if you add them all up, trucks, tanks, and artillery pieces, field pieces.
Well, there's another one that we sent them. We were supposed to send them more javelins and whatever, but the plane was delayed for 72 hours because of some mechanical failure. So, how efficient are we at getting stuff to them?
Well, it's just like this whole misdirected story about the jets from Poland, it's old military equipment. Ukraine has an air force, small as it might be, but the Russians. First of all, the Russians have plenty of aircraft they could use in the sky, but they're not because of these Stingers that the Ukrainians have. They don't want to get their butt kicked. Remember back in the Afghan war when the Russians had those gigantic helicopters, they were in movies and everything. I'm trying to, the First Blood or whatever movies, one of those.
It was the third Rambo movie.
Those Stingers went through the back door and right into the cockpit, man. Boom.
You could house, A couple thousand aliens in those helicopters.
You could fly them to Washington,
D.C.
Instead of busting them.
Let's do that. Why not do that? Yeah, we'll fly them up there. So, sounds good to me. I think a lot of people, when you look at the mass destruction of Ukraine at the moment, looking at all the news footage and everything of these towns, cities just bombed out. Russians still haven't been able to take the capital city yet, and Parliament's still meeting there, believe it or not. They're still holding government. And, Boris Yeltsin and a bunch of other NATO people visited Kyiv. You go to a war zone, it's like,
Prime Minister Johnson from England went last week over there. Mm-hmm. And got in the country, walked around with Zelensky around the capital. It's pretty obvious that the attempt, to heat this thing up for whatever political or economic reasons that Putin decided, we'll see. Now they're talking about the Grand Guard. It's like Napoleon's old guard. The new general in charge of you know, of the military effort by the Russians is, you know, he's known as the, what is it, the slaughter guy of Syria or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now they're talking about, you know, the main guard of even of, you know, Moscow and Putin's base in the country. Some of the those brigades or divisions may be, you know, sent to the front because they're the best. You know, they're going to come in and finish.
Yeah, that would be it. I don't know. Train will transfer more than 120 illegals. Maybe. I don't know. I'm not sure what that means. But anyway. They certainly have a shot at this, Shane. They may turn the Russians back. This may be Afghanistan all over again.
Oh, it will be.
For the Russians.
At some point, Putin's going to give up, you know, on the body bags and the physical destruction of his military, because it's happening, right? Right on TV. But worse than that is the destruction he's creating, you know, of these centers, in, you know, the urban centers of the country. I mean, Mariupol is, you know, it looks like, you know, all of Syria, you know, it's just leveled.
Yeah.
It's rubble, you know, and you're talking about a 2,000-year-old city that's like gone, right? I mean,
There are a couple things that are happening. One is there's a French company. I believe it's French. I should have written the name of it down. I don't know. It's a hardware conglomerate or whatever. They closed their stores in Ukraine. They're in Russia. And the report was they were showing some of the hardware in this like Home Depot or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And they've got hammers. They got two hammers, two different prices. One says for carpentry, the other says for killing. And their huge trash bins are Ukrainian body totes, is what they're what they're described as. And on the other side, they've got people who are going into grocery stores. And they're putting what's really happening in Ukraine. They're sticking it over the description of the food. So like Russia bombed a church with 50 children in it or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, they're putting the truth out on these. They're stinking into these grocery stores and sticking the truth on these descriptions of food. So there is something like that in Russia, obviously.
Look, war always comes down to, you know, what Napoleon said, the Romans said, you know, an army moves on its stomach. You know, it's logistics. And, that, you know, that's why Napoleon was the first one to literally bottle vegetables in water, in, you know, in a glass container with water to make it easier to feed his troops because, you know, they were big. You know, his armies were 500,000 to 1,000,000 strong. That's a lot of people. I mean, he went into Russia with 500,000, came out with 50,000. So, you know, food is essential, and now you've got this whole situation that's going to grow out of this and worsen. And, you know, the World Health Organization headed by that, still, you know, headed by the same guy from, you know, 2019 and his stupidity.
He's
an African guy.
Well, he's a Chinese sympathizer.
Yeah, but he's an African gentleman that's running the world. And, you know, and he's coming out and saying, you know, there's going to be a critical food shortage. Duh. I mean, it's like, you know, how late is too late? You know, it's one of these things that I'm glad that you allow us the opportunity to share this with everyone so that, you know, they get a heads up.
Yeah. Well, the issue is, I think if Russia has any chance at all, it's more likely to starve the people out than any military effort. Once the food supply, the water's gone, you know, they got no gas, water, you know, they've attacked the grid. They've shut the grid down twice over there.
Yeah, but you got it. The other side of this problem you have is the Russian soldiers. I mean, they walked away from the nuclear power plants because of their fear of radiation poisoning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they, you know, yeah, they initially, like the big one, had 25% of the electricity it produced for Ukraine. They shut it down, but then they walked away, and the Ukrainians turned it back on. So, you have this whole.
Yeah.
You, no, you have I mean, this
was,
whole,
I'm in a cyber attack. They cyber attacked it and shut
that
it down.
Too. We should talk briefly about that. But the point I want to make is, you know, historically in any country, it's usually generation on generation that serves in military, you know, like my father, my grandfather, my great grandfather. So a lot of these young Russians that are probably working, they're conscript, number one, but a lot of them may be, you know, they're because of their family, you know, generations.
Sure.
And so they remember what happened in Afghanistan. They remember what happened in Chechnya, you know, because they grew up with those stories. So, you know, you've got a real bad situation when, you know, you've got a tank brigade and the soldiers you command revolting and, you know, crush you with one of the tanks. I mean,
No, I know.
I don't remember reading anything like that in World War II. With I just don't. The Vietnam, you know, Korea. I've never read anything like that actually happening. Yeah. And the Russians even verified that a major colonel was killed by his own men. So
yeah, well, there were instances in Vietnam where that happened because the guy was an asshole.
Well, I guess that's a possibility.
That's the main reason you get killed if you're in the military, because you're an ass.
That's probably true.
So, but it'll be interesting. All these Amnesty Internationals getting involved now. The word genocide is being thrown around. Even by the Ukrainians, they think that, you know, this isn't just to take over Ukraine and control it. They want the Ukrainian people gone, dead, you know, out of here.
Well, I think clearly that's the military approach being taken, because it's been successful for Putin, you know, maintaining power. I mean, look what he did in Chechnya. I mean, Grozny, he just leveled the country.
Yeah.
Syria, when Assad finally yielded to him, you know, he went in there with his mercenary army people and they, you know, just wiped out all the cities. So
yeah,
at the end of the day, it's not a very, it's really clear he doesn't want to occupy the country, because there's not enough, he doesn't have enough men in country to do that.
Yeah.
So obviously, you know, it's, you know, let's go with plan A. It's, you know, it's always work. We'll just destroy as much as we can for as long as we can and try and sustain it.
I think the original thing was, we're going to go in 72 hours. We're going to take this place down. We're going to install our government and then we'll go away, you know, and everything will be hunky dory. We'll get all the wheat. We'll get all the barley. We'll get all this stuff that Ukraine has. But after this thing went on for a while, then it was, well, you know, I'm kind of stuck here. That these people,
well,
weren't supposed to resist. You know, they weren't supposed to resist. And now that they are, I think he has no choice but to wipe them out entirely. But what I don't understand, Shane, is, where's the UN? Where is, you know, whether you're NATO or not, this is a country that invaded another country and are killing indiscriminately. They're raping, they're killing women and children. They're bombing, they're defying everything the Geneva Convention stands for. And everybody's just, oh gosh, this is so terrible. Well, do something about it.
Well, look, three things. First of all, the military leadership, I believe, went to Putin and said, okay, we've been here for 8 years. We bled them. We've bled them bad. I think we have an option to make a jump, because I think we bled them that they can't defend themselves. And I think that's what they looked at. I really do. You know, it's been going on for 8 years. And with their flyovers and their ability to video and take pictures of the eastern part of the country, and they just didn't, like you said, think people would rise up. But we went through the numbers. You know, Ukraine's got quite a military force, so that was their big mistake. Number two, with regards to the genocide, been going on for 8 years. You know, it's not just the last 3 months. So again, you're well spoken to say, you know, why do we have all of these institutional organizations that are supposed to do something about that and have not done it for 8 years and choose not to say something? Like, why isn't there an effort for peacekeeping forces from UN, right? I mean, they've been used for 40 years, right?
Yeah, they've gone into all kinds of countries. I mean, what are they supposed to do? And
why isn't the UN general in Moscow sitting with Putin say, well, you know, we want to draw a line here in the East, and we're going to, you know, and we're going to draw a line here, you know, in the West, as you have pointed out, none of this is being done. And so number three, you have to conclude the only reason is no one wants it to end, Thomas. I mean, clearly. I mean, if you're not opposing it, you're embracing it. And, you know, that's the only argument that Zelensky has left. And that's what he should be saying, you know. I'm sorry about my earplug. It's just being
you know, that's why you need headphones, you know. I mean,
I tried them, but they're uncomfortable and I can't hear as well.
Well, get some good ones.
I'm going to do that. I'm going to go out on a long walk and go to the store and buy some better ones.
All right. Good job. Good job. Yeah, because, I don't know. I had a thought and I lost it, but.
Genocide. You were talking about genocide.
Well, I was talking about that. Well, and you know, Zelensky went to the UN and you know, pleaded with them, let's do something. Why are you a body if you're not going to do this?
Well, he's right. Yeah.
What's the whole reason for the United Nations and everything? And you know, these other countries in Europe are in a tough spot because Germany gets like 40% of their gas and oil and whatever from Russia. So what are they going to do? They're going to shut off, you know, they're going to oppose Putin, and then they're going to be a country with no gas, no oil, no, you know, any of that stuff. So, you know, I don't know. I think the time has come for these countries to say, get out of Ukraine or we're coming after you. We're coming to Russia.
Where they wanted to go. Look, here's the bottom line. Americans are looking at this because it hasn't been politicized yet. And that is that the conservatives in your country have tried for years to. Look, these international organizations like the UN, you know, and its subsidiaries like the World Health Organizations, you know, they're a spent concept of the 20th century. I mean, they don't work. They never have. It's an institution to provide cover for people to get paid huge salaries. It's a waste of money. Clearly, funding them is a waste of time. Quite honestly, you look at the numbers on the UN, no one pays their fees. If it wasn't for the US, it wouldn't exist. Belgium has all these new buildings for UN, like they do for NATO. You know, I hope if Trump comes back, I hope if he gets elected, I hope he throws the United Nations out. You know, tells them, go build a building in Belgium. Goodbye. We don't want you in New York. You don't do anything for us. You make a mess of our city. And we need that space for people to live in. Okay. You know, get out of here.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of these things that a lot of Americans are looking at and go, gee, how come the left hasn't politicized any of this? Well, that's why, you know, because if people looked at it, talked about it, and, you know, maybe one of our shows in the future will be about the UN, and, you know, maybe that's a good idea, because we should look at it. It's really bad. Yeah.
Well, it is bad. You know, it's been bad for centuries. Ever since
century. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think there's always been some kind of body in the world similar, but
yeah. Well, Wilson started the League of Nations. That didn't work. Yeah. And then they came up in 1922 with the United Nations as part of the peace accord for World War One. It took them, you know, four years. It took them 4 years to put together, right? Wow.
Little trivia for you. The League of Nations, he thought of that in the shower.
Not surprised, you know. Not surprised at all. It had to be a cold shower, Tom.
I was going to say, according to folklore.
Yeah.
That's where he did. Shouted it to whoever was in the next room. League of Nations, that's what we'll call it. So, I don't know. But, yeah, it's definitely not a United Nations. They kicked Russia off of the human rights. Human rights, Russia. I mean, China's on there too.
Yeah.
And Ghana and some of these other
places. Yeah. We went through the list.
I mean, this sucks. I mean, it's such a joke to have those people sit around the table when their own country, they're shooting people randomly or rape and killing and whatever. And they're sitting there, oh, yeah, human rights. We want everybody to be free and happy and wonderful. And, you know, if you read the UN Charter, it pretty well mirrors the Constitution of the United States, but nobody adheres to the Charter.
Nope.
No country adheres to freedom of women, freedom of speech, freedom of expression, freedom of... Well, the point I was going to mention earlier that slipped my mind, the Ukrainians weren't allowed to have weapons before this happened. They weren't allowed to have weapons.
And now I don't know what you're referencing. Sorry, what do you mean weapons? Guns, missiles?
Yeah, they weren't allowed to have any weapons.
Who the military? The
anybody?
What?
You know, the people of Ukraine weren't allowed weapons. Now they're handing them out like candy to people who have no idea how to use them, or how to fire them, or how to load them, or whatever.
I guess
they get a 10 second. Here's how to load it, and here's how to fire it. Here's the safety. You know, leave the safety off, of course.
I'm not so certain that, that I see that. And I'll tell you why. I've seen no footage. I mean, there are all kinds of correspondence in all these cities from the West. And I don't see any footage of them with people in urban areas, like women or old men or non-military carrying weapons. I see a lot of military Ukrainians. No, in full gear, uniform.
They have citizens lined up around the block to collect.
I haven't seen any film. Have you seen?
Oh, I have.
Film?
I've seen a lot of it. Yeah,
no, I haven't.
Oh, yeah, I was at the very beginning.
No, well, I'm sorry. I haven't seen it. So
yeah, they were lined up around the block at like a school or a library or something.
Oh yeah, they were lined up to get guns, going and getting a gun is one thing, using it's another. And I'm saying I've seen stories of them, you know, making Molotov cocktails and empty vodka bottles. Oh, what a surprise. Mm-hmm. And you know, I don't know. It's just one of those issues, I guess. The bottom line is Putin doesn't have enough boots on the ground to occupy the country. He doesn't have enough boots on the ground for urban warfare. And as I said, his military convinced him of, a boondoggle. I mean, they just did because, you know, they're all the one thing that amazed me in my researching this, that the military in Russia, the officer corps in Russia, before this started, 350,000, lieutenants to five-star generals and field marshals. 350,000. Mm-hmm. Like, one quarter of the entire military is an officer.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're all getting, they've been all getting paid by Putin and the oligarchs to keep them in power. And,
yeah,
you know, they're getting bored and, you know, whatever. This is just sad.
Take another comment. Biden loves this fight because it distracts from all his failures in this country. They keep showing footage from weeks ago. And yeah, a lot of that's true. We're seeing a lot of old footage.
Yeah, we are. And you know, his handling of it, of course, you know, like it's not just the policy, but it's the messaging. You know, they've done a very poor job of messaging about the length of the war, how long it's gone. And the reason they don't want to go there is because Biden was vice president. His son was taking bribes. Mm-hmm. And so he has nowhere to go. When you started out and saying, is the Ukraine going to blackmail Biden? Of course they are. They got all the blackmail material they need. You know, they own him. You know, that's where it's at.
Well, there's only one problem with that. If you have blackmail material, the people who vote have to believe it's true, and that ain't going to happen.
Americans do now because Biden's son Hunter released it. You know.
Yeah, but Democrats don't care. They don't believe it. Of course they don't. They still don't believe it. You know, so they're going to go out and vote Democrat no matter. Yeah. Hunter Biden could run, and he'd have full Democrat support.
Oh, here we go again.
He'd have full Democrat support.
If Hunter Biden shot the Pope on the White House lawn,
he'd be elected. Damn
president.
Straight.
Yeah, yeah. He should run for president instead of his dad. That's
right. He should. Yeah. Yep.
He'll steal his dad's motto. Make Russia great again. Make China great again. Those would be his mottos.
There we go. That's a done deal. All right. I think we've covered this pretty well this morning, Chance.
That's good.
All right. Hey, don't forget, folks, because, I didn't put it up, Shane. I got to put it up here. We're on radio. Yeah. We're on radio every Saturday, 8 to 11 Mountain Time. You got to listen live, KMMSAM.com. You can get us anywhere in the world, nothing to join, nothing to sign up for, no money exchanged. All there is exchanged is good ideas and conversation. So all you got to do is go over there and click listen now. Listen now. In fact, if you're a slow reader, there it is.
Good.
KMMSAM.com. All you got to do is click
it's
listen.
It's global,
now.
Folks. It's around the
it's
world.
It's everywhere. And you can call us. You can text us. You can talk to us just like regular human beings.
And you can access the Tom and Shane show, Business and Politics. So
that's true. Yeah. Pelosi is president. I'm going to throw up. Yeah, if we go that far, we're in real trouble. So
before you go, a teaser, we'll be on Saturday, and we're going to talk a lot about the market. Mm-hmm. This whole thing now with Elon Musk, these dough heads on TV don't even know what they're talking about. I mean, they're so scared of this that their pants are coming off, literally, mm-hmm. if they're not already off underneath the table. But having said that, we're going to talk about this money situation. The tipping point for the U.S. economy and the global economy because of the debt situation in the United States is worsening daily. They know it. They don't want to talk about it. We have since May, and we have more numbers to confirm what we've already called. And so please watch our show on Saturday. You'll learn a lot. I want to talk about individual stocks. So my regular rant in the last half hour probably will go 10, 12 minutes because there's a lot to be said on Saturday.
All right. We can't wait.
I hope not.
We can't wait to hear this. So.
Well, my calls have been right, so I got to keep making them.
Okay. We'll go along with that. All right. All right. That's going to wrap it up for us. We're every Tuesday and Thursday, of course. And hey, don't forget to subscribe and like us. Ring the notification bell. Leave a comment. If you're on YouTube, because YouTube likes that stuff. And thanks for watching, and we'll see you on the next podcast.